Legendary jazz blues singer Joe Williams with the same old song. It's from his 1987 album, Joe Williams, Every Night Live at Vine Street. He died in 1999 at the age of 80, but a legend in the world of jazz and music and blues, especially too. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And guess what? This is our final edition of Free Your Mind Friday for the year 2018. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you're thinking today. And let's see how it goes. 888-874-4888. Of course, you know, the whole point of Free Your Mind Friday is hearing your specific, your personal opinions about something and sharing it with others so that we get a dialogue going. And this has been the hallmark of Free Your Mind Friday. So I'm looking forward to the presentations and discussions that will close out the year today. Again, 888-874-4888 is the number to call to get things started. What are you thinking about as we make this transition from one year to the next? It's always a very significant time when we go from one year to the other. And I think in most cultures, when a society moves from one phase to another in an organized fashion, there's a lot associated with it. People have a lot of feelings. People have a lot of festivities that they have to mark this transition. It's a very significant time. For us, on Free Your Mind Friday, it is about kind of tuning in to where we are. We do that from week to week, every Friday. But as we make this transition from one year to another year, I'm imagining that we are in a special place thinking about that transition and what will shape our attitudes in the coming year, what shaped our attitudes and opinions in the last year, what are our earnest thoughts and wishes. All this kind of stuff becomes a kind of landmark for us individually and collectively as we go from one year to another. So how is it expressing itself with you? And what in turn are you expressing to us today as your fervent opinion about a subject that really matters to you and about which you have very significant and specific opinions? Do share. 888-874-4888. While we wait for the calls to come in, let me just say to you that in the coming year, there will be some tweaks made to Free Your Mind Friday so that we get more into debate. You know, people chiming in at the same time, taking perhaps even opposite sides of a position or an issue, and kind of fleshing it out before our very ears. And I'm hoping it would be very exciting. You see, we have work to do, and much of the work that we have to do will involve talking to people and exchanging ideas, even defending ideas. There's no wrong or right, although the society very much likes the idea of wrong and right. But I like to think that there is just an opinion. This is your opinion, and it should be respected as such. Now, it is either solid or not, sketchy, you know, but that could be tested in the course of an exchange. But I'm hoping that we can get more into debates in this new year. Okay, now I'm not seeing anything on my end, so I don't know whether there's anyone there or not. Is there someone there that I don't see? Okay. Oh, okay. So we haven't gotten any callers yet. And that is also very interesting. We used to have quite an overload. But in these last weeks of this year, I noticed that people are a little reticent. Maybe they're waiting to see what other people have to say before they chime in. I don't know. Well, in any event, I'll repeat the number, 888-874-4888. What, in your view, is the end of this year, the ending of this year, telling us about where we are as a country and the relationship between the governing president and the governed? That's us. What is going on? Are we just being, I don't know, are we being petty about his apparent mental condition? Are we creating unnecessary, you know, is the president, do you feel comfortable? Are you feeling safe and secure that things are going all right in our country? So, Jose from Rosedale, you start us off today.
Good afternoon, my professor. How are you?
Hello, Jose. How are you?
I'm here just laying back and listening to this great program. You always present us with ways of freeing our minds, and I enjoy that.
Thank
Sometimes
you.
I'm tempted to just listen. Sometimes I'm tempted to put my 5 cents worth in.
It's more than 5 cents, I can tell you that.
Thank you. No, I'm probably going to be coming, free my mind in a different way from many others. And I'm a person that most times I might not be politically correct, but I try to give my honest opinion on matters that I feel affects us as a people. And so I recently went to a forum at one of our most prestigious universities in this city and in this country, probably the world too. I'm one of the biggest gentrifiers in Manhattan. So anyway, there had a number of panelists, and there was one of the panelists that tried in her presentation to equate the civil rights movements of Africans not only in America but throughout the world, and the gay movement. She was saying that many of the ways and the things that they use to achieve what they have achieved so far was an example of the civil rights movements. And I don't know for anyone else, but for me, I was highly offended. And so I got up, went to the microphone, and I told her that she really need to apologize to, if not to our people, but to me, for that statement. I explained to her the reason why I felt that way. I said to her, I asked her how dear her to equate that courageous and gallant struggle that Africans, not only in this country but in this world, ever since we have been conquered by the conquerors, and we have been subjugated to what I consider the mother of all Holocaust, the African Holocaust. We have been put through all manner of degradation, and simply because we are fighting for our freedom, for our rights to be considered and to be acknowledged as human beings. I ask her, dear her, to equate your movement, where you're fighting for a sexual lifestyle. This is my humble opinion now. I say you're fighting for a sexual lifestyle as opposed to us fighting for our freedom. I said to her, as a matter of fact, back in the days of the enslavement of our people in this country, I say I would bet you that it wasn't only straight white folks that enslaved our people. I'm sure there were homosexual white people in the group. I'm sure there were all manner of perverts and sickos that had enslaved our people. And so I said, I demand an apology from you because I don't agree with what you're saying. And so we had a back and forth and so forth. But eventually she said, well, their group will have to, you know, reexamine their position and that, and they have to think it over and so forth. And so I want to find out if I am the only African who felt offended by having that analogy made, that equation made to our struggle for our life, for our freedom that we are still struggling for today. We have not reached that goal of freedom and full respect as human beings in this country and in this world. And I just want to know from your listeners if they felt that she was right in her analysis.
Well, like I said, it's not a matter of people being right or wrong. She offered an analysis. She was either, in your view, she was way off base. Mm-hmm. In her view, she would say she was right on point. The point being, from her perspective, she's discussing a struggle that has come into its fullness in recent years as gay people struggle for equal rights under the law. It is a legitimate struggle. Any struggle based on affirming human rights, it's a legitimate struggle. Now, people add on to that a lot of judgment as to whether gay people are sinners, which we get from the right-wing religious community. They are sinners. Some people go so far as to say they ought to be put to death. They ought to be eradicated from society. And some people call it a lifestyle, whereas many gays call it a life. This is their life. We still don't know what makes a person gay. We still don't know. Some people say it's their environment. Some people say it's their personal inclination. Some people say it is the effect of objectionable social conditioning that people end up with that. Some people just say, you know, it's just a nasty way of living, a debauchery that has been with us for a long time. But whatever your view.
I say it's all of the above.
Well, okay. Well, that's what you say. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what room do you leave for anybody to make a point contrary to your point?
Well,
or are you open
to
hearing anything at all contrary to your point of view?
Well, I just want to say this, first of all. I don't have the blood of anyone on my hands. I'm not one of the crazies that believed that I believe homosexuals are human beings like everybody else. All right? I don't have it. There's no blood of anyone on my hands. I don't intend to have any. Right? But in the interim, I believe, right, that the life, this is a lifestyle thing. There are many reasons why a person has turned to that lifestyle. Some has been imposed upon them. Some is
you use the word lifestyle.
Condition. It's many
the word
reasons,
lifestyle,
and I don't intend to go into that.
My point, in your view, this is a voluntary choice that many people are making to live this way, as opposed to the fact that there may be other reasons that we do not yet know or fathom as to why people are homosexual. Does that make them evil? Does that make them bad and wicked and worthy of extinction? What is your view?
That is not my view. Is that we are all human beings, and we are subjected to the society, the ills of society has rubbed off on a whole bunch of us. And I'm not here to persecute anyone because of the sexual disorientation or the sexual lifestyle or whatever. That's not my purpose. My purpose, my reason for bringing this thing up is to have something forced on our people. And you are telling me that is the right and the correct lifestyle, and I must accept it. And that is where I see this lifestyle going. Because when we have a president that has set himself up to be the poster boy for the homosexual community, and he will go into the African continent and into the Caribbean, Jamaica, and so forth, and to be telling people, I'm preaching about this kind of lifestyle, it must be accepted. No, I don't go along with that. I believe I must have the right to say what I agree with and what I like and dislike. The same way the homosexual community want to tell you that that lifestyle is right and just and proper and right and they love it and everything. I must exercise my right, have my right to say if I agree with it or I don't agree with it. And I find that
nobody's saying that you don't have a right to disagree.
No, they're saying we don't, because based upon how
I would have to take issue with that. I don't know that people are telling you that you must agree. You certainly have the right to your opinion. I'm just concerned that your opinion is so emphatic, and in many cases, I would even say it's narrow. Let me ask you, by your own definition, then, what is your response to black gays, Black homosexuals, and revolutionary Black homosexuals?
You know, I went to a forum once, and there were Black ministers there. And I asked the ministers, what really are their opinion on the matter of the Black churches and the homosexuality? And most of these big ministers you can think of, they were there. You name them, and they were at that forum in the city at the time. And the response I got from the leading minister was that, well, you know, that is something that we have not fully looked into, and because of the theological...
I'm trying to bring it to what you were thinking. You're telling me now what Black clergymen were saying. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you directly.
Mm-hmm.
What is your view of, therefore, of Blacks who are gay, who have been in struggle, who have died in struggle for Black progress? Does that change your point of view about gays?
No, I have no problem with that. My professor, as I've said to many of them, I've been to places where we have had interaction, and I've said to them, my brothers, you have no place to go but to home. And home is among our people. I said, regardless of what issues we have and differences and so forth, we have to discuss our issues and straighten it out among ourselves. Because I said, you are here defending, and you're here with the white homosexual. But trust me, whether it's white homosexuals that run this country or are white heterosexual, we as straight Blacks and you homosexual Black, we will still be catching hell. It doesn't matter what gender who runs this country. So I have no problem with Black homosexuals, as long as they're not trying to impose that on our people. They're just really surrogates of the white homosexual, because it's a white homosexual that controls them. All this movement in the Caribbean and all these places, it's a white homosexual that is bankrolling and supporting all these causes and imposing all these things on our people. Trust me, my professor, this is what is happening. When you look at the media and all these people, these places where these people are there, strategically placed. It's not the Black ones are really just pawns. In everything we do in this country, when the movement has begun, if it is begun by Black folks, it's usually co-opted down the road by whites. And we really don't, we put ourselves in a subservient position. And that is the role we seem to be playing throughout history. So I'm out there to say, to go after. I'm not hunting down folks because of their lifestyle or what our gender. I'm not into that. I don't give
a rat's
ass.
It's not a lifestyle. Let's at least agree that it's not a lifestyle.
To some it is.
This is an integral part of their lives. It's not a lifestyle. And when we say that, we give ourselves permission to miscast the issue. People are gay.
They give themselves the position to do and to say what they believe is in their interest. And I feel that I have the right to do what I believe is in my interest, also our interest. When I'm an island man. I'm an island man, right? And I'm telling you, I've never seen more young homosexuals in my island in all the days I've been born in my island. I don't know where they're coming from. What is happening that is producing all these young men and homosexual men and lesbian and so forth? What is happening?
Well, I wish you could chance an answer, other than it is white gays who are imposing this kind of life in a situation that you are clear did not exist before. Was it that it didn't exist, or was it that It wasn't out in the open, but it did exist.
No, no. You know, when back in the days, I got to go back and forth. Back in the days of the enslavement of our people, do you believe that it was only our women that was raped? And do you believe that the children and the men and the boys and so forth were also sexually raped or sodomized or whatever? And do you believe that if homosexuality was an issue, it was something that only black folks was interested in legalizing and so on and so forth? Tell me how far you think that would have gotten. If this was not white folks who wanted this thing here to legalize and all that kind of stuff, tell me how far you think black folks would have gotten with this kind of stuff.
But you're saying words like legalize.
Mm-hmm.
And indicating in your mind it's illegitimate and it is even illegal and wrong. So
do you think it's
wrestling,
right?
Wrestling, it's not about whether it's right or not. It's just that it is a fact of our social fabric. We have gay people. We always have had gay people. And especially since you're taking it to a black perspective, I have to remind you that some of the most militant people who have been fighting for our rights as black people have been gay.
And I commend them for that. I commend them.
It's not about commend. It's a fact that they were gay. They were fighting for rights that they could not enjoy. They were fighting for your liberation and my liberation that they didn't have.
So we're straight people who never had the rights either.
But it's not about straight and gay. It is human beings. And the issue is human rights.
I already acknowledge your humanity. I acknowledge your humanity. And I never, as I said to you again, I don't have the blood of anyone in my hands. And I've never called for harm to be done to anyone based upon race, color, creed, sexual misorientation, whatever. And I don't intend to.
But on another kind of meter in which your opinion registers, there will be concern that implicit in your argument is an anti-gay, especially anti-white gay position. And you blaming whites in the same way we talk about oppression and whatnot in terms of how whites have imposed and could still control much of what affects us all as societies, you're making the same kind of argument.
So which homosexual do you see control this movement? Is it the black ones or the white ones?
I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it any more than our black legislators more effective or worse than white legislators?
But black legislators have very little control over anything.
Well, here's the point. I think you ought to take a look at developing this argument, and we should have it as a debate.
Okay.
Because one of the things that we have been very reluctant as an African community
mm-hmm.
is to give space to all aspects of our community, including the gay community.
I agree with that.
When I tell you, like the black national anthem was written by a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Some of the most conscious lyrics and words I've found throughout history come from some of the most conscious sounding people. I've seen it. Many of the words that we and the quotation and stuff we use today, many of it come from unconscious people, unconscious minded people.
Saying to you that the argument, we have to raise the level of argument
mm-hmm.
because we are still arguing at an elemental level that you could stick right back in the 1950s and 60s.
Mm.
What have you personally done to advance your view? What have you looked into? What areas have you examined that might mitigate your opinion? Not that you ought to have a different opinion, but to come up with an opinion that appreciates our collective history and our culture and our struggle.
I am not here.
We cannot fall into this. We cannot fall into the trap of finding ways in which we just recast a very serious argument. Is the argument then that you're okay with black gays, but you're not okay with white gays?
Is the argument that
you are very uncomfortable with homosexuality, and it's the social influence that it is appearing to have in areas where you were not used to seeing that influence, and it bothers you?
I am not saying that white homosexuals are not human beings, or black are human beings, and they are not. I'm not saying that. I am not here to change anyone's lifestyle. The point I'm saying is that we must have the right to keep saying
lifestyle as if they can, you know, they wear it on Monday, but they put it down on Tuesday and pick it back up on Wednesday. It's not a lifestyle. That's one radical change that you can make to get you to see the issue in proper perspective. It is not a lifestyle. It's a life. Any more than somebody could tell you that being black is a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. This is a permanent part of our culture. It is becoming more and more known. It is causing more and more discomfort with people who would rather not deal with it. But we should stop calling it a lifestyle. You know, it is a life. Being gay is a life, part of their lives. A. Philip Randolph, gay. Bayard Rustin, gay. Put their lives on the line for massive social change in this country. So we have to come to terms with this idea of homosexuality. It's not a lifestyle that you could wear on Monday and then, you know, you take it off on Tuesday and put it back on Wednesday. It is their life. It's part of their life. It's part of their essential makeup. And we have to accept that. Otherwise, we can't make the case that we deserve special consideration on the basis of our oppression by virtue of race or class when we regard gays as having simply a lifestyle and not a life. Well, you got us started. I see lots of people calling in. You may have to move out of town, and I will be right there with you. Thanks a lot for getting us started today, Jose. Deborah from Harlem, you're on the air.
It's the boy. I want to start with Ujamaa. We're in the third day of Kwanzaa. To build and maintain our community together, and to make our sisters and brothers' problems our problems, and to solve them together. How are you, Eutrice? So happy to speak with you.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was in your journalism class in Gaffey, I guess more than 30 years ago when you taught a class there for college students looking into journalism. But I wanted to continue and clarify what I think Jose was saying. When you have, you know, Harlem, you hear the Okay. Well, you have a subjugated and oppressed people. One of the things that happens is the destruction of manhood. And I represented years and years ago political prisoners in the United States that were a part of the Black Liberation Army. The Republic of the National the Provisional Government of New Africa, we had a whole understanding. And I think what he's speaking of with the homosexuality encompassing the Pan-African diaspora at home and abroad is the brokenness, the conquering of Black manhood. And we find it very, very hard to think that it's just an individual movement when here in New York, a battle to get Black history was won in the curriculum. Yet there is still no Black history curriculum. Yet in every educational level, there is information about homosexuality. And we have a judgment that was never embraced. So I'm expanding his argument for the liberation of Black people in terms of a broader sociological understanding of aspartame, which a Black scientist told us about, microwave ovens, where your body no longer can differentiate what you have consumed.
But,
also,
but you know, but, hold
the leading, wait a minute, the leading into
transhumanism. No, wait a minute. What I'm saying is that your presentation is very scattered. So I don't know what your central point is. And I wish you could, if you can hone in on your central point and follow through on that point rather than take us all over the place.
The point is we charge genocide, which even Paul Robeson defined. And we are saying that Black manhood is in danger. It's in danger through the schools where my grandson has to come home and say, Grandma, I'm a boy. Because someone is trying to convince him that he is not a boy. And our argument is if we won the right for African history to be in the public schools ordered by a judge, that it could not be individual homosexuals that this movement is just encompassing. It's a government move. Why? Where we can prove it, there is literature in every level of academics.
But you see, you're not proving a point. And I still don't know what your point is. A little bit of everything, and we end up with nothing in particular. I'm just asking. Take the topical point that you're making, follow through with, you put together points that support your thesis, and then that makes it better. But I don't believe that we will get anywhere when we blame homosexuality, i.e. white homosexuality. And it's troubling to me that I'm getting more and more about the homosexuality cast as a white thing, when in fact all the documentation that we could muster indicates that it is just a thing. Homosexuality is a component of the lives of many people, Black, white, and polka dot. And if it is on the basis of their homosexuality that they are being subjected to uneven treatment and even physical harm and murder and so forth, it is a problem. And they have obviously organized around that issue, as well as many other ancillary issues. Now, we can't be, those of us who are not gay, are we to blame them for being especially active in this area, excuse me, of advocating for their rights? I'm troubled by that. I'm troubled by that. And I'm troubled that our history as a people who are open to all people's struggles, that we are descending into this kind of, you know, we balkanized ourselves. And we, more than that, we are preaching how correct it is to take that position and maintain that stance, which contradicts even Black history and Black people's experience. You have to think about that. Thanks for your call. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
All right. Are you getting ready for next year?
Well, you know, I don't know what that means. It means so much. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it. So many things to be getting ready for. But to the best of my ability, I'm going to ease into 2019 with great caution.
Right. I, you know, life is about preparation. That's what it is. It's about order and preparation. And this, and I've gone wrong on that trail from the very beginning. You know, I was always losing things and never prepared to do. I kind of just did it by the seat of my pants. And, you know, knock wood, I'm still here. So, I don't know what else to say. Other than that, that fellow that called before, boy, I have to see, he must be alone, because I can't imagine any woman living with this person.
Oh, no, now don't go there.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that,
attacks on people. That's not who we are. We can appreciate an argument on the basis of its the validity of its points. Let's deal with that. Let's not attack each other personally.
Get back. I shouldn't go there, but it seems as though everybody goes wherever they want anyway. So meanwhile,
not on this program. They don't go where they want.
Well, this is true. I've spoken to you before where I've somehow disappeared. No, I'm kidding about that as well. Listen, before I continue to put my foot in my mouth, I want to say have a great new year. I love your show. I listen all the time. It's important. And thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your very kind wishes.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Hey. How you doing?
Okay. And you?
Oh, I'm a little invigorated after, was that Jose?
Jose.
Shit. man. You know, people need to take some classes. I respectfully disagree with the man, but, you know, that's a cultural thing. You know, that's the truth. You know, anybody can knows West Indians. Look what happened to Beanie Man. Practically, he couldn't even do any concerts. But, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, I have so many things. Perverted is whatever you don't like sexually. You know what I mean? It's so crazy. But I kind of get his point in a way in terms of diluting energy from a mission and a movement. But then if you look at the movement, I started thinking about James Baldwin and, of course, the people that you mentioned. So, you know, people need to separate the work from the person. And that's often difficult to do. But I can say this for a fact, and this is the truth. being gay is everything that everybody said it was. Some people are born gay. I've interviewed women who are only deal with women because they have been abused and molested and beat by men. And they only feel intimate around women. And so, you know, there's not just one. And it's not, it is absolutely not a lifestyle, period. No. Because if that were the case, who would subject themselves to being ridiculed? That makes no sense. That would make no sense. Is that logical?
Well, that's my point, is that we ought to at least mature into a real understanding of what the experience of being gay is. It's not a lifestyle. That word bothers me. It's a life. This is part of their lives, an intricate part of their lives. So,
you know,
as we, others who are not gay, others who are in what the Native Americans would call two worlds of bisexuality, their interpretation of it is entirely different. Entirely different.
And you know, the more you talk with people, the more you learn. There are folks, you know, who I know who say, well, you know, I had a gay experience. Does that mean they're gay? Because they had a gay experience sometime in their lifetime. They are married with children. And they never did it, you know, they never did it again. Or, you know, it's just so, and then some people say their sexuality is in a continuum, you know. And to most heterosexual people, including myself, you know, it used to make me feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's like anything else. You just have to be around people and read and be open-minded. And it's, you know, it's, look, because any time you start to label people, you could put in black. Well, I don't like the blacks because they, you know, they molest children. You know, just insert, you know, like.
It is true. It is true.
But you did. And I'm not trying to. Thank you. You're such. This is why you do what you do. You're such a gracious host. And to say we have to stay away from these ad hominem attacks, of course, because that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
So how are you feeling?
Well, you know, I'm moseying, as they say. I'm moseying. I'm all right. And my hope really is that we become the best debaters there could ever be anywhere, so that wherever we are, we have the capacity to change the conversation and to do so with great authority because we are informed. But, you know, we're not trained to engage. And that is why I say it is not important, really, whether you agree or disagree. Get into the discipline of expressing an idea and how you craft your presentation. So you don't, it doesn't come loaded with all these other things that we first have to clear out of the way in order to get to the essence of what it is you're saying. But we'll sally forth and we'll come through. We'll do just fine. This is a great group.
You really, I see. That's why you are a teacher. That is why you are a teacher. You know, there's so much. What a rich, rich program. So,
thank
you know,
you so
I want to make, I, this is, the, I guess it's the last, yeah, this is the last time for the, before the new year for the show.
Yes. Yes.
So I just want to mention again, since your theme, it seems like for the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, has been survival. I want to mention again, the philosophy of the party of self-defense. And of course, I left out the first word because that just dilutes the power. But that might be a good way to start. It may be a small way to start with some people, depending on where they live, is when you go to get healthy food, you know, carpool. Take someone with you. Some people just don't know about what foods to buy that are healthy. and what foods to grow, and to get people to grow a garden and eat good foods, because by the end of this administration in the United States, and maybe other parts of the world, we're going to be in dire straits. It could be. We could very well be. And it doesn't hurt to know how to grow some food. It really doesn't.
In fact, it's getting easier and easier. I mean, even if it you just grow it on your windowsill or on your patio or at a little sliver of land on the side of your house, we have to really reconnect with the earth again and in a conscious way develop a healthy respect for our bodies and preserving our health for as long as we possibly can. Thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we have Lincoln from Mount Vernon. You're on the air, Lincoln.
Hey, how are you, Eutrice?
Okay.
Hello?
Well, you don't have too much time, so you got to get to the subject matter quickly.
I want to jump around quickly. I posted something on Facebook by Professor Cohen, and he said, he said, everyone is so gung-ho about impeaching Trump that they actually would risk a world war with Russia. And I want to just plant that in people's mind and have people stop and think for a second and about hearing what we want to hear and seeing what we want to see. I also want to address the topic Jose brought up. We must separate, like you, your defense, I shouldn't say defense, you pointed out that many, great contributors to the black movement, such as, I know what first one comes to mind was James Baldwin, were homosexuals. But because James Baldwin was a homosexual, or anyone else who contributed to the black movement was a homosexual, that doesn't change the conversation in terms of a particular position on homosexuals. I had a friend when I was a child who was one of my great, because when I was 13 or 14, we were talking about South Africa and politics. Like I was introduced to Gaddafi when I was a boy by another boy, you know. And this boy who told me about Gaddafi was into bestiality. But yet this boy played a great part in my education. And he was into bestiality. So I want you to think about that and make those comparisons. Because someone who's great in the movement is not necessarily...
There are no comparisons there. It is...
I'm just picking and choosing
exemplars, I should say, of the point we want to make. It is unfortunate that apart from the burdens that people like Zora Neale Hurston and others had to bear, Rustin and others had to bear because they were gay, they also had to fight the black community. The black community also oppressed them.
I fight the black community myself. I'm doing things for black people in conversations and I fight them. So here's the thing. Just because of my differing opinion.
One of the closest friendships was between Baldwin and Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Who was Muslim, very orthodox in his view. And it did not prevent
him. But it doesn't mean that Malcolm X supported James Baldwin's sexual preference, though.
What?
It does not mean that Malcolm X necessarily supported James Baldwin's sexual
preference. It's not about support. Nobody has to support you in your sexual preference. When is it that we gauge in terms of support? I'm making the point that here is an Orthodox Muslim. You couldn't get more black nationalist than Malcolm X in his heyday. And he was a very close friend of James Baldwin. Why? Because
nothing wrong with that.
Yes, but at the same time, there was an overwhelming sentiment about whether Bayard Rustin should be involved in labor leadership, or A. Philip Randolph, who introduced so many black workers into the railroad system. We're crazy. We're adopting
if you,
the
if you
same
heard what I said, though,
of ostracism.
That's why I said those are two different topics.
Yeah, but, you know, Hello? I'm saying across the board, let us not fall into the trap, because it can be fatal to our progress. If we start talking about AIDS, and we don't even understand what it is, we don't know what it is. Clinically, we have no idea what being gay means, any more than we understand proclivity to smoking.
So I have done great investigation on the
homosexual. We have to grow up and see the ways in which we ourselves participated in our own exploitation and promoted it. The black church is just an example. Rabid anti-homosexual things are going on in black churches on a Sunday. Half the damn choir is gay. The pastor is probably on the down low. And yet we get this torrent of hatred every Sunday. And it is acceptable. No, we have to condemn that. We have to condemn that. So we have a lot in our own history to illustrate the downsides of when people buy into white supremacist thinking, even about homosexuality. We have to reject it. Plain and simple. Uh-oh, that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you very much, those of you who have called, and thank you all who tuned in to listen today. We're moving forward, and we have to push ourselves. We do. It is the only way that we will grow, and it is the only way that we can take our place and our turn as leaders in our community, as agents of change in our community. We cannot presume to take on those responsibilities when we are so closed and we refuse to see, you know, a situation for what it is, without making it attached to people as a kind of mark against them. We've been through that for too long. So the weekend is here. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with well-meaning people who elevate you. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.
And there is the same old yearnings everywhere you go. People have the